Good evening, Abosai. Good evening. Hope you're enjoying Chanukah. Okay, we're going to be learning tonight an extremely important seif in Shulchan Aruch. Again, apologies for yesterday. We'll be discussing tonight. I hope you all got, you're all on the text messaging. You get text messages. I had to cancel it. Yeah, you get text messages. Yeah. Pardon? I don't care either way. You better call. Can you mind to close it, please? Okay, we'll be learning an interesting topic, carrying on in Hilchos Shema. And the shaila I want to discuss tonight is a shaila which I heard, which is very relevant, which is the shaila of saying Shema in English. If somebody is a chozer b'tshuva, for argument's sake, and he's not familiar with the Loshna Kodesh at all, he's not familiar with English, with the Loshna Kodesh. Is it okay for him, in the interim, until he can read properly the Loshna Kodesh, in the interim, is it acceptable to say Shema with the Art Scroll translation? Or is it not acceptable? Is a person whom we know that otherwise he won't be able to fulfill anything, is it acceptable for him to say Shema in English or not? No alternative, so better than nothing.
I'm saying, I don't know if he's Makai anything, but he's an honest...
Well, if he's not Makai anything, then why are we asking him to do something which is not Makai anything? You know the Chaz Nish? I once mentioned the Chaz Nish with the glasses? The Chaz Nish with the glasses? Yeah, okay. I must have mentioned it, yeah?
I was just want to say by extension, is it better... Let's say he learns to read Hebrew, but he can read, but he doesn't understand.
Right. What happens if somebody reads and does not understand? Good question as well. Somebody reads Loshna Kodesh, but he doesn't understand what's flying. Is that a problem or not? Yeah. Good. So all these questions become... There's another question as well. An interesting one. What happens if somebody is just taking a course to learn Japanese? And he, in order to train, he's not familiar yet in Japanese. It's still quite a bit of hurdles until he's not quite fluent yet. And he's just picking up a bit of vocabulary and spelling. And he feels that as he's saying Shema in the morning, it would actually be a good opportunity for him to increase his vocabulary, Japanese vocabulary. He therefore decides to actually get the Japanese translation, Japanese art scroll. Is it out yet? Japanese, not yet. Okay, wait, give them a few years. We'll get there. So he wants to say the Shema in Japanese just to increase his vocabulary. Most words he does not understand yet. Is that acceptable or not? No? Well, okay. We'll see soon. And most importantly, a fascinating Shaila, which I heard from Dein Dunner, Zalzang Zonten Stark. I'll be sharing with you now, actually. Okay. No, actually, I'll be sharing with you in a minute. Okay, let's just get there. Simon Samach Beis, Sif Aleph. Mi shaloi diktek bekriya shema, somebody was not medaktek to read shema, or loi hishmiya leoznoi, somebody did not say shema loud enough, he did not verbalize it. He was just basically thinking about it, but he was too tired to actually verbalize the word. So is he yoytze or not? Says the Shulchan Aruch, Sif Aleph, afal pi, although, shemitzvah, that it is a mitzvah, ledaktek, to be careful, with its words. So this is actually the last shir, which is the last many seifim from seifim Yudalet onwards, basically. We learned all the places that it's so incredibly crucial to a medakdeik ba'oisi yoisel. You have to be careful. Every word you pronounce in Shema has to be accurate and has to be precise, has to be concise. So, afal pisha mitzvah ledaktik b'yisrael, though you need to be medaktik by its letters, kara, if you did read it, v'loy diktek b'hen, and you are not medaktik b'hen yotza, b'dyevet yoyotza. The Mishnah Berurah does qualify that, and he said it's not as simple as that. Mishnah Berurah says three lines from the bottom. V'loy diktek, eino inyan, the meaning is not, shaloy hizki ha-tevois v'yoyosyois. We are clearly not referring to someone who said Shema and he failed to say some words or some letters. That, shebevadai lo yotzo. If you say some words very inaccurately, or you're missing out some letters, for sure no, you're not Yotze. You're talking not Yotze. Avor, what is he talking about? When is the Bedevdia Yotze? Inyan deloy dikte gushaloy nosan revach ben advekim. This is talking about, you said one long sentence from thereafter until Emes Beatziv. You said one massive word. And you weren't mafsig in between. So you didn't say, Ve'ahavta es Hashem Elokecha.
The two related right onto each other, like
yeah, names and stuff. Correct. So he says, Avra'in shalai dikti ushalonos and revach ben advekim, oi, alternatively, shalai hitiz hazain shal dizkru. If you said tizkru, you meant to say with a zain, tizkru, with a zain, and if instead of that you're saying a tizkru, so b'dievet yoytze. So when you say leman tizkru, which actually has a different connotation, it has a different meaning, b'dievet yoytze, k'nal tzim and samach aleph. But if you're saying something which completely sounds utterly wrong, or you fail to say letters or words, and if it's really inaccurate, then you're not going to be yoytze. So from here we certainly learn the importance of saying Shema slowly and meticulously. So b'dievet, you're yoytze if you said the words, but not with the absolute pronunciation, you're going to be Yotze B'dievet. But if it's very different, you're not Yotze. Ramoshe Feinstein, I think it's basically where you're heading to, asked a question, and he said, if you're saying Al-Levavcha, and it sounds like you're saying only one lament, Al-Levavcha, are you Yotze B'dievet or not? Instead of saying Al Levavcha, you're saying Al Levavcha. Oh, you're saying you're not Yotze. Why is that?
No, but you know what
it
says. So
this is Aval Inyan Shaloi Diktek. The Shulchan Aruch says B'dievet Yotze. What is he talking about? Says Leinos Nerevach Ben Advekim. So B'dievet, it appears, B'dievet Yotze. Leinos Nerevach. If you didn't say Al Levavcha. Yeah, you're right, yeah. So, if you said al, and you did al le, instead of saying, you didn't interrupt, you said it in one go, then what, are you yoytze or not? So it would appear from here that b'dievet are yoytze. L'nos n'revach ben advekim. B'dievet are yoytze. But the question is, didn't you skip a letter? There's a lament that you skipped. There's two laments there. And you skipped one of them. Are you yoytze or not? It would appear that you skipped one letter. So why Yotze? Pardon?
Not.
You're not Yotze? You're probably not Yotze. Yeah, Mitzvah, you're right. It would appear from the Mishnah Berurah that maybe you are Yotze, but it's a bit, Moshe asked the question, and it's interesting, and he says that could be that because people, that's the way people talk, so maybe you are Yotze, but it remains a bit of a question. It clearly remains a bit of a question why you're Yotze, or if you are Yotze. It remains a bit open-ended. Sieve base. Yochel ikroisa. No. Yochel ikroisa. Okay, sieve base. Well, it depends. What were you referring to? For instance, if you're not matkish to Shavuos, but yeah, but you're not going to be. It's not going to be market.
But havto ace is supposed to be havto s. If you say s is supposed to
be ace, that we wouldn't be market. That's very much part of what it says over here. Korov lo dikdik b'yos yosel. Yeah, that would be all korov lo dikdik b'yos yosel, but yevad yoyotze. Yeah. See, base. Yochoy likroiso. You can read the b'chol loshen in any other language. Okay, this is a very incredibly important seed. Yochoy, you can, likroiso, you can read it, b'chol loshen, any language. V'izoyer, you should be careful. Medivrei shibush shibois loshon. You should, however, be careful when you're reading in a different language. It should be correct translation. V'idaktik boy, you should be careful. K'moy b'loshon hakodesh, as in loshon hakodesh. Okay, this is a fascinating sif, which actually doesn't only apply to Shema; it also applies to other tefillahs as well. But let's focus on Shema for the moment. So it says, so you can read it in another language, but you should be careful that the translation is absolutely correct. Okay, so let us see Mishnah Berurah over here, because Mishnah Berura is really important. I forgot the Mishnah Berura Seif Cotton Base, which goes on the earlier Seif. Is that okay if you just fill it in now? Yeah, I forgot the Seif Cotton Base, which is important. The last line of the earlier page. Yotza, so b'dyevah yotza, for kovla dikta b'yotza. Say yotza, mikon mokim, yizorim, oidach hatchile b'zeh. Hatchile should be careful to be matkish anything and to say it accurately as much as possible. Visa b'shast gemorah says, "Medaktik ben tzchoroi shemitzan lo gehenem." Somebody who is careful with the reading and the accurate pronunciation of Shema, that Gehenem gets cooled for him. Shemida keneged mida. It's mida keneged mida. Shemeachas shemoireir atzmoi b'zeh. Since he is careful with it, umenias chumoi hatibel edaktik b'yoisyois, and he is the natural heat, and he's getting himself, he's medactic with the letters, so in that heat of the fact that the heat of the Gehenim, which would be the heat of the Gehenim, gets cooled off because he ensures to say it with heat. Shema with heat in his makpidon pronunciation. Okay, so if base b'chol loshen, any language, Shema can be said in any language. Says the Mishnah Berura. First of all, the most important condition that goes back to the Japanese, the person taking a Japanese course. For dafka shemevin b'oys loshen, this is only if somebody understands that language. You cannot be yotze Shema in a different language if you do not understand it.
Similarly, with regards to davening, Birkas Hamazon, benching of a Kiddush, Kiddush of Birkas Hamitzvah, Peres Vehalel. Birkas Hamitzvah, Halel, anything can be said in another language. However, only if you understand it. So if you want to say it in another language, make sure you understand it. Otherwise, you're not going to be Yotze.
V'chol ze mitzad adin, this only make it adin. Aval ha-mitzvah min ha-mofcha. But, lechatchila, Tafke b'loshen ha-kodesh is something very special about loshen ha-kodesh. Halpik ha-bola. Certainly one should say it halpik loshen ha-kodesh. But with Yehavet, yes, if you understand the other foreign language, you can be Yotze. So if you want to say, Shema in English, yeah, Rabbi Yossel, what do you think about that? Shema in English? Yep. Yeah, if you understand English, that's fine, yeah?
You say half off, you understand the first half, not the second. You say the first half in English and second half in
ha-kodesh. Yeah. Yeah, that's an option. Yeah, so you can, but mitzvah l'amufcha, you should not say it in your language. But now, the Mishnah Berura comes with a certain concern. And he says the following. So I just want to emphasize that the halal as well, and bracha as well, can be said in other languages, if necessary, right? No, l'chatchil b'ba b'dyevet. Says the Mishnah Berura now the following point. Nowadays, af mitzad adin. Nowadays, says the Mishnah Berura, actually, there's a big problem. No, you actually can't read in other foreign languages, even if you understand it. Why is that? There's many words that we do not know how to translate them. Such as veshinantom. Veshinantom. What does Veshinantom mean? You should teach them. Yeah? Veshinantom. How does called translate? Yeah? Veshinantom. Yesh be'kama bi'urim, says the Mishbur. There's numerous explanations on Veshinantom. Echad loshen limut. One means to teach, to learn. Ve'echad loshen chidut. And one is to sharpen. Veshinantom can mean two translations. It can either mean to teach Veshinantom Levonecha, you should teach your children Torah, or Loshen Chedut, to sharpen the learning. Al Tegam Gemetoimaloi. Should be clear, Kemosha Omu Chazal, should divay Torah mechudotin befichot, words of Torah should be sharp in your mouth. Shem Yishol Chodom Tova, if somebody asks you a question, Al Tegam Gem, do not stutter. Vetoimaloi, you should say to him, Vechen Kama Vekamo Tevois, and his additional words as well, should be Kriyas Shema. In Kiyashima, she'inu yoidim heitev, we do not know clearly, biuroi, its explanation, aloshanach, we don't exactly know its translation. Kungu tevas, S. How do you say S in English?
There isn't a translation.
How are you going to translate S if there's no translation? Pardon?
A few ways.
So, you're right. There's a few ways of translating it, depending on its context. So it's hard to translate the word S. How are you going to translate it? So it said that if it's based on the context, that it gets very, very, it's not clear. How do you translate that?
For
Chedoyme. It's very hard. However, when we say, pardon, what's that?
It's a new word.
They translate that tefillin, right? That's interesting. Article translates that tefillin.
No, because they didn't want to use the Greek, probably.
So maybe.
But actually, it's come from the word
magical.
It's like a magical, what's it called? An English word. But it means something not to do with the Rabbi Shalom.
Really? Oh, really? Did you hear that, Rabbi Shai? We've got experts on Greek language. Is there anything else? We've got Greek experts. Pardon? You read a dictionary once?
I once looked up phylacteries.
Okay. Phylacteries aboisai is a Greek word which source is magical.
It
has some connection to Avodah Zarah.
What's the kind of stuff that you wear around your neck to ward off evil spirits?
Amulets?
That kind of thing.
Okay. Yeah, like, right. Kishuf. Okay, getting better and better. So that's the translation. So therefore, I fully understand why article may want to translate Toitophos into Tefillin rather than anything else. So yes, so there is a problem there. How are you going to translate those words that they haven't got a translation or an accurate translation? However, when you want to say Shema in Loshna Kodesh, v'chem betfilah bekas hamozin. So the rule is, if you're saying it in English, you must understand it, and you must be able to translate every word. However, when it comes to Lashon HaKodesh, which is the way that Bernstein said it, there, even if you don't understand it, so obviously, it's better to say Lashon HaKodesh. And the Mishnah Berurah just ends off, he says, yeah, there's one person you really must understand. It's translation, that's the first possible Shema Yisrael, but that everybody understands. You never find a Yid who doesn't understand the translation of Shema Yisrael. Everybody understands that, everybody knows that. Our little kids who are 3 years old, they know the basic understanding, I know not the deep understanding, because who does, but the simple understanding of Shema Yisrael, everybody knows that. We all know the story of Dr. Schoenfeld, yeah, when he went to I heard it, B'Shem, Rabbi Dr. Schoenfeld, that he went to Eastern Europe just as he was the kindergarten sports, rescuing the many, many children who were hidden in Tiflis, in who knows what kind of places, in what are those places called? Monasteries, and they were there, he went up to the head, whatever, and he asked them, is any Yiddish kinderlech here? And they replied, no, there isn't. They can I just check one thing? And he started saying, Shema Yisrael. And then many, many boys replied, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And he said, okay, fine, these are the Yiddish kinderlech, let me take them home. And so he did. So kinderlech who didn't have any parents, they were mamash yisoyimim. And that's the way he saved them. So just to bring the proof, these were sometimes not from very high mishpachas, but every kid knows first positive Shema. So the translation as well, arguably many people, the children know the basic understanding. So the Mishnah Berurah, the crucial point of this Mishnah Berurah is that yes, one is Yotze B'chol Lashon, correct. However, this is true for davening, brachas, but with regards to Shema, there's a bit of a problem because Shema has words which is difficult to translate. And if you're going to say this in English, then you're not going to be yotze because there is no accurate translation. That's the bi'alochas, the Mishnah Berurah's point. Now, I want to mention over here a very famous bi'alocha, a fascinating bi'alocha. There's lots and lots of discussion about this bi'alocha. It's quite a long bi'alocha, but it's very famous, and I want to just mention it. So the shaila which I heard was from Dayan Duna Zorzang Zotenstark. A number of years ago, he told me that when the Russian Olim moved to Eretz Yisrael, what year was that? In the 80s? Yeah, when the...
When the trickle came stream in the
70s.
After Perestroika.
Okay, after Perestroika. Late 80s.
Late
90s.
It became very, very sort of...
Okay, late 90s. When was that?
The
Early 90s. 91. Okay. So right back. Okay. When the Russian Olim, when they were finally allowed to leave the Soviet Union and they moved towards. So what happened was they moved to Eretz Yisrael and they were of course left totally bereft of any Yiddishkeit, that no knowledge whatsoever. It was sometimes two or three generations totally uprooted from any connection to Yiddishkeit. And they ended up in Ben Gurion Airport, and they were spread out over the country, and some of them were then, some Yidden, some very Tyre Yidden, tried to be mekarev them a little bit to Torah and Yiddishkeit. And the problem then was that they wanted to train them, but they didn't know how to read, they knew absolutely nothing. So the question was, they can't read, they don't know anything, they absolutely nothing. So they wanted, at least they should be fulfilling the mitzvah of Shema. So one of the Rabbonim then, one of the Gdolim then, thought about, okay, listen, we can't get the Lashon HaKodesh, that's for sure. How about giving them a Russian translation of Shema? Not hard. And we're talking about thousands of Yidden who would benefit from it, of saying Shema every single day. Fulfill the mitzvah of Shema every single day. So they would say, you know, is that okay or not? Can you actually give them the Russian text? Is that okay or not, Rabbi Yisai?
Is transliterated
better? As opposed to? Not sure. Maybe. I'm not sure. Not sure. I don't know. Rabbi Yisai, what do you think about that? Russian text.
Okay,
so saying, so Rabbi Kagan says, if we're saying English is okay, yes, there is the Mishnah Berurah's couple of words which it doesn't have to translate, this will be an issue. Like it's an issue in English, it's going to be an issue in Russian as well. We're saying that we've got the problem over here, the problem is mentioned in Mishnah Berurah, the Shinantam, Toitofois, but otherwise it should be alright. Yes?
Are they writing the translation or Shema, but just written?
Everything in Russian. Russian words. If you say Shema in Russian, of course, is. Anybody Russians? Any Russians? Okay. Yeah, okay. I want to share with you what the Bialoch is Mechadash. The Bialoch has an interesting guy from Gemara in Kiddushin. And briefly, the Gemara in Kiddushin, whoever's learning Kiddushin, the Gemara in Kiddushin says, somebody who, the Gemara goes through various Lashonis, how to Mekadesh a woman, what Lashonis are acceptable to actually make a Kiddushin for a woman. And then the Gemara says, somebody who says Charufosi, which is a certain expression, somebody says Charufosi, this woman actually will be Mekudeshes. But a big condition. This is only in a certain place. And the Gemara says, "Oy machorufosi be Yehuda mekudeshes." In Yehuda, she's mekudeshes. Why is that? She can be Yehuda koyrin larusa charufa. Because in Yehuda, if you call a woman charufa, it's as if you actually call her mekudeshes. You call her, you know, please, can we get married? So this word only applies in Yehuda. But anywhere else, it's not going to work. Because this is the type of language that is used in Yehuda. Anywhere else, she's not going to be Mekudeshes. Says the Pialocha, and this is the crunch, this is the Mialocha Mechidosh, that if you want to use a language, it must be the spoken language in that place. But if you are using that same language, even though he understands and she understands, that same word that he and she understands, but it's not in a place where that's a spoken language, it's not considered a language. It doesn't work. Says the Bialocha, therefore, if you are saying Shema in another language, and that's not the spoken language of that country, you're not Yotze. So, again, spoken language, B'chol Loshen, works, but only if that specific country. Consequently, going back to the Russian translation, never mind the aspect that you're mentioning, he had a few words, which are questionable, but if you are saying Shema in Eretz Yisrael, in Russian, according to the Bialoch, what comes out?
Thousands of Russians who speak Russian.
Very good, very good. We'll get there 1 second. So some G'doyle Yisrael said that you, based on this Bialoch, which by the way, many Achronim are choylik on the Bialoch, the Raya is a bit of a shver Raya, so it's Belen Jevachon Macholik on this Bialoch, but if you are, but according to this Bialoch, you cannot be Yotze in any other language than the official spoken language of that country. So if you want to say Shema in Russian or in Spanish in England, if you want to use a Japanese translation, even if you're familiar in Japanese, you're a Turkish person, and you want to say in Turkish, you want to say Shema in England, you're not going to be Yotze. I understand. It's a spoken language. Shulchan Aruch says, B'chol HaShem Yotze, could it be Halacha? No, that's only going to work in that place where it's spoken language. Now, the argument against that, if I very much hear Mr. Vigoda's point, that it could be that in Russia, after this great Aliyah, where there were tens of thousands of Yidden who moved from Eretz Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael, one could argue that maybe it was a spoken language, but I'm not so sure about that. Because it was just an influx from outside, and it was a machlokes, that was very much a machlokes of Rabbonim then. If that is acceptable or not, because it's not Lashna Medina. Just because you've got 5% of the population speaking a certain language, doesn't make it necessarily Lashna Medina. It's a question. Yeah. Yeah, very good. Is that all part of the question? Yeah. This is all very good points. Very good points. Yeah.
There's no real clear raya from that Gemara.
Why?
It's Tully on the country. It's Tully on the Gavra. And if the Gavra is from Yehuda, and it's from Yehuda.
Could be that's pshat in the Gemara there as well. Absolutely valid point. Yes. Yes, absolutely. So the question that you're mentioning now, the Chofetz Chaim's, in the letters of the Chofetz Chaim, it's written, it's a very interesting letter, the Chofetz Chaim, but those questions you're mentioning are very strong questions, similar to that. I forgot which God of Israel sent a letter asking those questions to the Chofetz Chaim, and he was very, very old. And he asked him this Bialach, very similar to your questions. And the Chofetz Chaim replied, your question is a fantastic question, and I don't know the answer, but I do know, this is what Chofetz Chaim says, I do know when I wrote this Bialach, I remember that I was thinking about this. And then 36 times I went over the sugya when I wrote this Bialocha. And I had an answer to that question. I don't remember it now. But I know I went over 36 times before I wrote this Bialocha. But I don't know the answer anymore. So that's what the Chofetz Chaim answered. So leaves us a bit of a limbo. But that's what the Chofetz Chaim wrote. So, but there are cholkim. There are plenty of cholkim. Now I want to just mention one point which is very important. Halacha l'maaseh. The Heilige Brisker of Zecher Tzadik v'Kadosh Livracha. He was very makpid. Of course, Kovaloi Dikdik you should say very accurately every single word. We all know that our ayins are not very accurate. I don't know how you say the ayin, but our ayins sound very similar to aleph, and that can't be. We've mentioned ayin in the past. It's not. So the Brisker was very concerned about it. It's well known that when he came, the Brisker of Zecher Tzadik v'Kadosh Livracha, it's not written any. I don't think it's written in his phone, but it's well known that he said Esav. He went over the word Esav a number of times every single day when he said Shema. But you say Esav. How do you say Esav? Can you say it better than me? Esav. Right? Ayin is meant to be guttural, right? Good. So that's really the main one. The main one should say it, but I don't. So the Heilige Brisker of Zecher Tzadik v'Kadosh is known to have gone over the word Esav a number of times, and then afterwards he said it in Yiddish, Goz. Groz, and that's how he carried on afterwards. Because groz is Yiddish, and that's b'choloshni yoytze. B'choloshni yoytze. And that's the way he was yoytze. He was concerned about loikov, loidikdik, loyos yoytzeh. And he felt that, as far as Yiddish is concerned, this is you know, accurate, this is dikdik, he was a dakdik, and it's Yiddish. So he said Esav a number of times, after he said groz, and after, which is gross. And then afterwards he carried on, and he said, that's the way it was yoytze. So,
just changed one word.
No, I think there was other words as well, but I know about the Goz. I know that's a famous thing. Yeah, so that's Echidish, you're right. If the story is true, which I believe it is, so it comes out that the Biskov said that you can even actually have one sentence in which you can have partially Lashon HaKodesh, but which is Echidish, you're 100% right. Thank you for that point. So yeah, Mr. Berlin's point, that according to the Biskov, it appears, and I wouldn't pass it on Halacha L'maaseh like that, but from the story, you should never pass it from stories. But it appeared that from the Biskov, you can separate the sentence into Yiddish and into Lashon HaKodesh. From Nosati, Groz, and carrying on the Lashon HaKodesh. So it's a Chiddush, right? It's a very, very valid point. Right, okay, just to recap what we covered tonight, we mainly spoke about that one has to be didactic, and some inaccuracy, you know, it's a bit yavet. However, and then we spoke about Becholoshen or Yoytze. Two important points on that. Becholoshen has to be only if you understand. Point number one. And we said about Shema, we said that it's a bit sticky to say it in Shema because some words we don't know how to translate. The Mishnah Berurah is unhappy about saying Shema in English. in any other language. Additionally, there's a famous bialocha that whenever we speak about Becholoshon, it has to be the spoken language of that particular place. Do not attempt to say Hallel in England, in Russian, because it's not, or in American, in fact. Of course, American is English as well, I believe. Good question, but I think it is. But so Becholoshon has to be Loshon, the spoken language in the country. So it has to be the spoken language in the country, otherwise, you know, it's, and that's not only specific with regards to Shema, that's with regards to any other Tefillin Brochem. I wish you good Shabbos, Afrelech and Chanukah, and Siyom Sandim Mitzvah Shem.